So Linking Chen is going to be the first speaker. So when you're ready, please start sharing your screen.
Great.
Okay, so the title of the talk is Virasoro Hair and Entropy for Axisymmetric Killing Horizons.
Okay, thank you. So it's a huge encouragement to be given this poster prize and the precious opportunity to discuss our work with all the experts in the field. And also, I want to thank the organizer of putting in so much heart into this unprecedented conference during the unsettling time. So this paper is in a collaboration with Wan Zhen, Shu Wei, Anthony, and Bruno from Parameter Institute. So we all want to know that what is the macroscopic origin of the black hole entropy. So one perspective, which was suggested by Karlip some time ago, that due to the presence of the horizon as a boundary, it would make the would-be gauge degree of freedom physical, and that the black hole entropy is actually governed by such horizon symmetries. And this essence of the gauge redundancy, actually part of it becomes the physical symmetry due to the presence of the boundary, has been studied under different names in different community. So this is just the incomplete list of all the people that put efforts in this direction. So actually, symmetry plays a powerful constraint on the density of state. And one magic is also a very precise constraint is the Cardy formula, which states that for if given 2D conformal symmetry for any CFT with modular invariant under certain range of validity, the entropy in the canonical ensemble is given by the following form. So initially, it was derived by Strominger using the macrocanonical Cardy formula for deriving the BTZ entropy. And the crucial insight is using the Brown-Hannock's result of the asymptotic ADS symmetries. And it's worth mentioning that the successful derivation of the macrostate counting for the extremal curl leads to the paradigm of the curl CFT. And in particular, which we learned a lot during the process of this project, is in 1999, Karlip has tried and demonstrated the idea for generic killing horizon. He's trying to show that such entropy counting is not just restricted for the asymptotic ADS boundary. It might also be true for the generic killing horizon. And as Karlip is the participant in the conference, we encourage you to discuss with him more on the merits and the limitation of the construction. So our work is essentially a generalization of this paper from 2 years ago to any bifurcate axisymmetric killing horizon. So I like this approach very, very much because it is completely theory and model independent. It's very general on the fundamental without reference to other details of the macroscopic dynamics. But it can give us a lot of guidance and insights for the quantum gravity. So what's the system we are studying? So we consider stationary bifurcated axisymmetric killing horizon. And so by the black hole rigidity theorem, the horizon generator is always a linear combination of the stationary, the time part, and the mutually commuting rotational part. So by picking out the characteristic vector field, which are mutually commuting, it defines the coordinate system for the near horizon geometry. So here we select out one rotational killing vector. Arbitrarily, there can be many, and then study the near horizon geometry in the following form, which, as you recognize here, is the Rindler piece. This n theta is the angular dragging if you have rotation. And we use the theta to parametrizing all the transverse direction. So then let us zoom in this near horizon geometry. So the crucial part is defining, designing this conformal coordinate so that we could bring out a locally worked ADS3 factor in this any dimension that's larger than 3. So this will be an embedding of ADS3 folia in our real space-time. And some people might recognize this is the form of ADS3 in the Poincaré coordinate. So essentially here, the W plus W minus are actually the usual classical coordinate times a phase of exponential of phi, which play a role of a length of zooming in this region. So here we use the warped because it's actually deformed by the second two lines of the metric. And the ADS radius square is this term, which is the theta dependent function. So actually this coordinate is, oh, okay, I forgot to mention that. So by affixing the W plus hypersurface, it intersect with the hypersurface you are familiar with, the stretch horizon, fixed X hyperbolea, and the constant time hyperbolea are spirals. And these two spirals are actually corresponding to a one fixed value of the W plus. To give you more geometrical intuition, here is a plot of the different value of fixed W plus W minus spiral intersects with our stretch horizon. So I need to emphasize that there's two boundaries in the story. One is the boundary of the cursive surface, is the bifurcation surface, which lies at W plus W minus equal to 0. And the other boundary is the asymptotic boundary of this ADS3 folia, which lies at y goes to 0 limit. And so by the periodicity condition, this coordinate needs to be periodically identified. So there's a fundamental domain of the 2 pi, but the precise value of phi actually plays a role of a gauge parameter that you can take a limit to the minus infinity to reach the boundary of the ADS3 folia. And so I also want to emphasize that although the bifurcation surface lies at W plus minus equal to 0, but to approach bifurcation surface, any finite W plus minus also does the job. As you can see from the picture, this is a finite value. They can all approach bifurcation surface arbitrarily close, but not on the surface. So in the next slides, you will see the vector field which preserve this asymptotic warped ADS3 factor. So we adopt the vector field from this previous work. In the Poincaré coordinate, it's written as the following form. Actually, it is essentially the Brown-Hannock vector field without a field-dependent part, which was due to the specific boundary condition. So when we do the mode expansion from the periodicity condition, you can check that the Lie bracket of the vector field form Witt algebra. However, it's very important that such vector field has singular limit when the coordinate W plus or W minus approaching 0, because you will get a 0 to the exponential of in factor. And if we call this right moving, the right moving vector field will be regular on the future horizon, but not on the past horizon. And the left moving will be regular on the past horizon, but not on the future horizon. It might be illuminating to rewrite this vector field in the near horizon coordinate in terms of our characteristic vector field. And so here, these are all the different combination of the Keeling vectors. And it's important to note that because this rho A is normal to the stretch horizon. So this actually plays a role of the surface translation on the stretch horizon. So with the Lie bracket, now let's implement the symmetry on the phase space. So we are using the covariant phase space formulation, which has a long history and developed by these many people. So first you need to identify the pre-symplectic two form associated with the Cauchy surface. And here the G, it's built upon the on-shell solution. So G is the solution of Einstein equation. And we have a boundary of the space-time as the bifurcation surface. So the crucial part is that the gauge symmetry, which are redundancy, are really pure gauge, at the direction corresponds to the degenerate direction of the symplectic two form. And on the opposite, the gauge symmetry, which becomes the physical symmetry to the phase space at one, corresponds to the non-trivial charge. So one can define the Hamiltonian, which generates those symmetries on the phase space associated with the vector field, as the following. So this piece is the give you the northern charge, and this is the symplectic potential. Here we use a slash because the Hamiltonian is not necessarily an exact form on the phase space. If the Hamiltonian is integrable, it's an exact form, then by the charge representation theorem, you can realize the Lie bracket, the algebra for the vector field as the algebra on the Poisson bracket. And there is a unique central extension if your algebra is the Witt algebra. So we know that Virasoro is the unique centrally extended algebra for Witt. And to really determine the central charge for our system, we needed to compute the central extension and get M to the cubed factor. So the non-trivial central extension essentially comes from the singular D field when you take the limit towards the bifurcation surface. So it's always such type of the term in the Lie derivative that you have a W to the minus one power, which is essential to give rise to the central charge. And so the result is as following. The left and right central charge is a combination of the northern charge of your space-time area and the angular momentum. It's worth noting that it is actually proportional to the H0, which is very interesting for me. So far, we carry out all the analysis with the general alpha and the beta, but we actually need to be more careful about whether Hamiltonian is integrable or not. So one particular boundary condition to ensure the integrability of the Hamiltonian is following. And when you solve it, it will give rise to a particular relation between this alpha and beta. So it actually singles out a whole class of the vector field. On the other side, if you allow general flux into your system, you need to add the walled Zupas counterterm. So it's adding a D minus one form to the symplectic potential to subtract the non-integrable piece. And the equation of motion is completely unimpacted. Here we adopt the counterterm from their work, and it will get the following correction to the central charge. Hence, both ways leads us to a conclusion that when you have a well-defined integrable Hamiltonian, you will have the two central charge are equal with proportional to the area. So this alpha and the beta, if you remember in the coordinate, is exponential of alpha phi, so it's related with the periodicity. And then it ties into the Killing vector, hence it's related to the temperature in the Fall-of-Thorne vacuum as the following. And it's very interesting to see that this kappa and this alpha and the beta are in some sense equivalent. And in the conformal coordinate, it's both on the exponential with playing an equivalent role. And with assuming a putative 2D CFT with modular invariance, we apply the Cardy formula and see that indeed it's coincide with the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy. Okay, a brief summary of what we did and especially compare with what has been done in the community in the past. So we studied the stationary bifurcate Killing horizon with axiosymmetry in any dimension, and the general construction also directly applicable to the Ringler space to give a well-defined entropy density. The gravitational phase space for the near horizon region admits 2D conformal symmetry algebra, which central charge proportional to the area of bifurcation surface. And for the Kerr black hole, it has a well-defined zero spin limit to the Schwarzschild. And the construction allows the CFT temperature to be chosen within the validity range of applying Cardi formula, which has been an issue in the field. So then the Cardi entropy coincide with the Wittgenstein-Hawking entropy, suggests a microscopic interpretation. However, I think much more is unknown than known. There's many exciting questions. So the first question is that, what's the physical criteria for further specifying the CFT temperature? Actually, now we are working in progress on this question, because for the integrability condition, the temperature relationship that's being selected, it defines a different pair than the Kerr temperature reported in this work. And more generally, if you allow alpha and beta to be arbitrary, it really doesn't give any constraint on the CFT temperature. And so the other mystery for me is that the two copies of Virasoro are only a subset of the full symmetry, but yet they're strong enough to determine the density of state. We didn't use the possible additional rotation symmetries. But it gets the right entropy formula. So what is the implication? Is this a signal of dimensional reduction, or there's some other physical insight behind it? The next question would be, what type of the edge modes are responsible for the horizon microstate counting? So it seems that the surface preserving part of the edge mode is not enough, and we need to include the surface translation piece, which cannot be fully localized just on a co-dimension two boundary. The next question is a challenge, is how to have a well-defined Hamiltonian for the stretch horizon as time-like boundary. So far in this work, we know how to do it for the null boundary, but it's still an open question for the time-like boundary. And it's also interesting to study what's the relation between the pole structure appears in the horizon memory effect and the soft theorem, and the singular diffeomorphism, which is also a pole structure, appeared in this formulation. And it's very important to, I think Lohan raised the hand.
Yeah, I mean, let's just finish the talk and then get questions. Assuming that this is the last.
And it's very important to connect our construction to the extremal limit, which corresponds to the degeneracy horizon, so that it can connect to the next CFT result. And there's a lot of generalization one can do to the higher derivative gravity, to very importantly to the arbitrary cross section of the horizon, to the causal diamond quantum extremal surface. And one, if one could figure out how to do it without axial symmetry, you can generalize it to the generic subregion. And so here are a few questions. Actually, I'm curious the most in my heart. The first one is, why does it work at all? We have heard of an oracle about Euclidean path integral in Daniel's talk. And the Cardi formula is another oracle of computing the black hole entropy. So the current idea is, by identifying the modular invariance, that I partially know how to do it as the two characteristic direction of the gravitational phase space corresponds to the phi cycle and the t cycle. So these are the two characteristic cycle corresponds to the torus. And then you need to identify the modular invariance for the partition function, and then compare the saddle of the gravitational path integral with the original proof of the Cardi formula. I want to understand what's the essential role of the singular diffeomorphism plays in it. Whether these two oracle of the gravitational path integral and the Cardi formula of the microstate entropy counting are secretly the same. And the second question is, it gives us a ground to understand precisely the different role of the conformal anomaly and the gravitational anomaly for the horizon entropy counting. So here, by the Cardi formula, the black hole entropy is given by the conformal anomaly. And when the central charges are not equal, which is generic if you do not impose any boundary condition for the general alpha and beta, it will appear as a gravitational anomaly. And how to eliminate that is actually by this condition on demanding a vanish of a particular type of the symplectic flux from the transverse direction to the ADS3 folia. So you have high dimensional space-time and this 3D ADS folia, and you consider what's the symplectic flux injected into its bulk. And the vanishing of the holographic gravitational anomaly would correspond to a vanishing of such flux, which essentially, as we know, the gravitational anomaly measures the lack of diffeomorphism in the ADS bulk. So another interesting question is how to generalize it to the near adiabatical dynamical horizon, which will correspond to a time-dependent surface gravity. And if we could generalize to that scenario, it's a new ground of analyzing the evaporating black hole. And then the final question is whether it's possible to have the near horizon quantum gravity and the CFT duality, and what type of CFT that would be. A main challenge would be different with extreme occur that has the decoupling limit. Here, any mode from infinity that propagates in will make the conformal structure unstable. So it is really a very interesting and a challenging question, and we hope that the experts in the audience could share some insights after the conference. Thank you.